Hey folks, this is Michael Phillips. I'm the film critic of the Chicago Tribune and the mentor advisor of the U of I College of Media Roger Ebert Fellowship. And I'm here in studio with Diamond Stewart Hutton and Aaron Anastos, two of this year's Ebert Fellows. And we're going to talk a little bit about Ebert Fest, which concluded last month, and more broadly about things we kind of learned coming through an entire year of various workshops, writing. Wasn't the only festival we went to. We went to more than one film festival beyond Ebert Fest, and talk about just some takeaways that I know I learned a few things, so I hope you guys did too. let's start with Ebert Fest though. For those who have never been to the Virginia Theater, and who have never been to Ebert Fest and kind of don't really know how that particular film festival works. Aaron, recap.
Ebert Fest is an incredible opportunity for film lovers from the Champaign-Urbana area to come enjoy a varying array of cinema experiences set in glorious 35mm screen.
Big theater.
Big theater.
Not like the shoebox multiplex.
No, nothing experience. Like that. No, this is an old-timey theater. This is a great, beautiful venue. I was lucky to be there once before for a play, but I'd always wanted to be able to see things on the big screen there. Luckily, we were able to about a month ago at Ebert Fest. They had a fantastic lineup, starting with The Searchers, which is something that I know you saw opening night. I was able to see a couple films. I'm Still Here, winner of the Oscar for Best International Feature this year, and also Rumors by Guy Maddern, a very interesting, surreal kind of satire. And Diamond, I know you saw some interesting things there too, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I saw The Color Book. It was a great movie, as I would say. It's not a lot of movies out there who highlight the single father experiences in any area, despite of like Pursuit of Happiness, some other movies. But to see that, and also having another layer of the child being suffering from Down syndrome, and just the movie made me appreciate my father a little bit more. So yeah, it was a great time.
Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you.
For this amazing food.
Heard amazing food.
Let it fill our spirits.
Let it fill our spirits.
We love you.
We love you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
And we honor you.
And throughout the festival, for those who haven't been there, we're talking about, in this case, I think Color Book had the director, one of the stars, a producer. They had a big representation from the filmmaking, team behind the film itself, which is great to hear in the post-screening discussion, whether you like the film or not or found it. But it, just to hear stories about what you just saw from people who know, that's not something you get every day.
Yeah, you really don't. You really don't have a chance. And that's what I liked about Ebert Fest. We had a chance to speak to multiple, stars and directors and writers who wrote these beautiful movies and stories. So, yeah, that's what separates Ebert Fest from every other movie festival.
And that's also the case with the other big film festival we covered this year, True False Documentary Film Festival down at Columbia, Missouri, right nearby the University of Missouri, and so that was two very full days, right?
Two very full days. Yeah, we had a lot of great films to choose from. We were able to be pretty flexible with the things that we saw. So many amazing documentaries, and it was very nice. I know I had the personal honor of talking to Eleanor Mortimer, director of How Deep Is Your Love. A documentary.
World premiere.
Right after the world premiere of her film. Very gracious people. And it was just a fantastic opportunity to get to pick her brain a little bit after that film.
And that was a different, like the opposite setup from Ebert Fest in terms of Ebert Fest, I love it because the pressure is so off. There is no decision to make about what you're going to see because everyone is seeing the same movie at the same time.
Yeah.
There's not three or four or five things that start around 2 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever, like True False, which involves a certain amount of just guesswork and decision making, but also some happy accidents too, right? You don't really know what you're going to get. But how did that strike you, Diamond, as a first timer, just like all three of us were this year?
It really was a good time of seeing like how many movies you can see within. It's like for me personally, I had to choose what I really wanted to see, and kind of I still had to miss some of the movies that I couldn't get because of the timing and the structure and the scheduling. But for the ones that I saw, everybody knocked it out the park for me, and I have no bad reviews.
That's great.
I think it was really fun though at True or False though, because it forced you to be a little adventurous with what you watched, because with the tough schedule. I know personally I ended up seeing a couple films that I never even really remembered seeing on the advertisements beforehand. And I think that it was just a great opportunity to really expand your horizons. Like I saw one documentary, it was fantastic. It was about genealogy and tracing ancestral roots in China. It was a very eye-opening experience. And I think that it was just a great opportunity for seeing that whole film community around Mizzou. I know I saw a lot of college students from Mizzou helping out doing filmography for the event, and it was cool seeing the entire film community coming out to support these documents.
It's a great downtown because it's right up against it's a good so that's the film festival component of the Ebert Fellowship that you guys did this year. We did many other things across the two semesters, among them introducing a couple of different screenings at the Spurlock Museum that was part of the College of Media's screening program. And, man, it was fantastic, I have to say, as the occasional visitor to Champaign-Urbana, not a student, to see 300-400 people for Dog Day Afternoon in a 50th anniversary screening, which we actually talked about here in the studios of Illinois Public Media beforehand. And it was great to kind of learn about the film and then talk about it and then just sort of see how well that, for me, well, that film worked 50 years later. I don't know how did it seem to you guys.
Is there any special country you want to go to?
Wyoming.
No, Wyoming. That's not a country. That's all right. I'm going to take care of it.
Hi, I'm Kennedy Caldwell, and along with Aaron and Diamond, I was also an Ebert Fellow this year. Personally, I feel like that was my favorite part of the fellowship were the screenings at Spurlock, because I really liked meeting up with all you guys and talking about the films, and it would be really funny because somebody would disagree about one thing or somebody would agree with another, and I loved the debates and the laughter beforehand, and then I loved like just seeing everyone also very excited for the films and being able to tell them your thoughts, and then just everyone's reactions to the films, like watching them, especially during Alien and Dog Day Afternoon. That was so, so fun. And I feel like that was like the best part to me, because I felt like that was in the times we were able to like very get to know each other a lot more.
It was fun for me. During that screening, we had an opportunity to see it by ourselves separately before the screening. And being an Ebert taught me how to critique and not be just a viewer of the movie. We had to really deep dive into the movie, into the story, into the real story, and knowing what's fiction and what's fact and stuff like that. It was great to see how the audience really took heed on what was going on and how it relates back to today.
Yeah. How about you, Aaron?
No, definitely. Another thing that was very heartening was seeing just how many people, like you said, turned out to be in the crowd for Dog Day Afternoon, a Sidney Lumet film from the 70s. It exceeded my expectations for the turnout, and the crowd was very solid in how they reacted. They were engaged when the film really wanted them to be engaged. They really caught the type of humor that the film was also expressing. So it was very inspiring to see just how well the film community around here lashed around something that I think they wouldn't, a lot of college students, I think, wouldn't have normally thought that was a movie that they were wanting to come see. So
it's not like, I mean, you go go 50 years in any direction in film history, and the movies are going to change.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to me to see that film again, just to see how people, as you said, Diamond, just kind of what it's like to see that with a crowd.
Yeah.
To see a film that it has almost no violence in it. Mm-hmm. There's always the threat of it.
Yeah.
But when you do, when the violence inevitably comes, it's very, it means more, you know, and also, it's just like juicy acting. I mean, really, to see Al Pacino kind of ripping it up without overdoing it. I don't know. I was way into it all over again. You know?
Oh, yeah. He's just bouncing off the walls that entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great hostage. It's a great true crime thing, story. And it's told in a way that I think I wish more true crime today would sort of take a lesson from it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's also going to continue next year for a new set of three Ebert Fellows with the U of I College of Media, and the first screening of the new school year, sometime in early or mid-September, we're going to do another screening of Ryan Coogler's Sinners, for those who haven't seen it. And then for some people, they won't have seen it for 3 months or so. But it's not a hard movie to revisit. So that's sometime in early September. And I'm glad those Spurlock screenings are still on the, you know, on the table for us, because I think everybody gets something out of it. Yeah. You know,
everyone definitely gets something out of it. It's a great opportunity for people on campus to see films they wouldn't normally have probably thought would be kind of a community experience, being, because especially since films are such a social like experience, seeing it with so many people in the theater, you really get the idea that the ideas that the film is expressing, you're not alone, really.
I wonder if if we could just conclude by talking a little bit about, you know, a reminder that maybe will, you know, hopefully, you know, be useful 5 years from now in your writing. Anything?
I would say for me, don't be afraid to be descriptive in your writing. Mm-hmm. And I would just say what you told me, Michael, for our review for the True False Festival. I was like kind of titter-tattering on, should I add this quote? Should I add this moment of the after show and the director talking about the movie? Mm. And that opened the door for me being descriptive and also capturing the audience that's reading my article. So don't be afraid to describe certain things or certain scenes to, you know, capture your audience's, you know, eye.
Yeah, yeah. So there's more going on than just kind of what's on the screen or whatever we talked about. Okay.
Yeah,
good. All right. I like that. I'm glad I said that.
I would also say it always pays to be yourself in your writing. In this day and age, there's such an oversaturation of quick criticism, quick opinions. Anytime you go online, it's this thing is good, this thing is bad. That's all you need to know. But I think in writing criticism, just being yourself and being honest, I don't think it matters as much whether you liked or disliked something. It matters why. And your personal opinion, that's where you get credibility. I think that's why one thing that made Roger Ebert so great and so prolific is that he was able to express so well what a film meant to him and what he got out of it and what he just personally felt about it, rather than thinking about how the public would receive.
Yeah, and it's hard enough to get it right for yourself.
It really is.
That's what I always come back to, and kind of what you were saying, Diamond, just about, you know, it's that kind of description and the detail of the why, you know, and just kind of what's going on. It's hard to get that right for yourself, and then if you get close, then you have a fighting chance of whatever you wrote connecting with others.